welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, midweek destinations and diversions show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. Now, we're doing something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to be talking with Jay Lewis and his family, his children, McKenna and Keaton Lewis. But before we do that, I want to remind you that the Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals. So, like I said, we're here live talking with Jay and McKenna and Keaton Lewis, and they took a Disney Fantasy cruise with Disney Cruise Line back in March. And this is our first chance on the Dad Show to talk about somebody who's cruised on the Fantasy, so welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
Now, Jay, we started talking about you putting together this trip back in, I want to say it was November or December, if I remember right. Tell me a little bit about what went into the decision to take a family cruise. It was three of you plus your wife and your in-laws all on the cruise together.
Yeah, six of us went on the cruise. We had gone about every year, a year and a half with the same group of people, with the grandparents, on a princess cruise. And we loved going on princess cruises, but we also loved our trips to Disneyland and Disney World that we had done. And it was something my wife and I really wanted to do. And we had to talk the grandparents into it a little bit because I think they had an image of lots of screaming kids running around, of the food not being as good as princess. They were really used to a certain level of service. And once we convinced them and showed them the website, we decided that the Disney cruise would be the perfect blend of the Disney parks and the cruise vacation.
Okay. So why don't we start with, I know that you came into Orlando a little early. You had a couple of days in the Disney parks, and you got a chance to try a new resort. And so actually I'm going to turn this to the kids and ask McKenna, what did you think of the new Art of Animation Resort?
I thought it was really cool. I was looking at stuff online before we went, like on YouTube and stuff, and it just looked really cool, and it was even cooler in person. There was something for everyone. The lobby was amazing. There was something for little girls who liked The Little Mermaid to guys who liked cars, so there was something for everyone there.
All right, so Keaton, what was your favorite thing about Art of Animation?
Just the attention to detail on those, like, statues. Like, they just looked so lifelike.
Yeah, we talked about
really
that.
Cool.
We talked about that on a recent podcast about how the Imagineers on those, you know, went the extra mile and actually figured out proper scale so that, for example, when you're in that Little Mermaid section and there's a statue of King Triton, you're supposed to be the size of, you know, one of the characters in Little Mermaid, and that's why Triton is the size he is.
Or Ursula.
Or Ursula, right. So, Jay, compare your stay at Art of Animation to your previous stay at Port Orleans.
It's interesting. For a Port Orleans being the mid-level resort and Art of Animation being economy, we didn't notice much of a difference at all. We knew we weren't going to spend much time in the room because we were going to be in the parks almost the whole time we were there.
And we were,
and it didn't make a difference at all. And actually, it was better. The kids loved Art of Animation a lot more. They didn't notice a difference at all. I think if we were just going as adults, something like Port Orleans, but the Art of Animation, because of all the cool animation that was there, and the pools are themed really neat, kids don't want to try a different place. When we go back, they want to go to Art of Animation.
Okay. And remind me, were you in a Little Mermaid room, or were you in one of the suites?
Little Mermaid.
Okay. So you were in the Little Mermaid room, and you only had a couple of days in the parks. So how did you decide what to do in the limited time in Walt Disney World?
Well, we knew we wanted to work around the early magic hours for the Magic Kingdom. And the time we were there, it was an 8 o'clock open time with early magic hours at 7 o'clock. So
wow.
The first morning we were there, we set our alarm for 5:30 so we could be online for the tram by 6:15. And actually, five of us. Grandma slept in, but the five of us.
And she didn't come until like 8.
She grabbed her coffee and she met us later in the morning. That was great because we were able to do, Keith and I did Space Mountain, I think, 3 or 4 times before 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
5
so,
times in the entire trip.
Absolutely. And so we were able to maximize that. And then we knew we wanted to end up back at the Magic Kingdom the second night we were there so we could see the fireworks show over the castle.
Main Street.
Yep. It's a kind of that quintessential Disney experience. And so we really then planned everything around those two pieces. And we sat down as a family and talked about the four parks and decided, what was it, Animal Kingdom was the one we decided not to go to this trip?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That
was
very sad. Because no Expedition Everest.
Well, that's true. That's a hard one to miss. So three parks, 2 days to get it done. You knew you wanted to start and end in Magic Kingdom. So what did you do with Epcot and Hollywood Studios in the middle?
See, really what we did was in the morning, we went to Hollywood Studios.
On the second day.
This is the second day.
Yeah.
And then on the first day, that evening, we went to World Showcase. Because our last trip, we didn't do it because I didn't want to. but this time we did it, so.
Okay.
And we had dinner in one of the nice Italian, or the Italian pizzeria on the Epcot side. And we
best pizza I've ever had. Really good.
Awesome.
And the other thing we wanted to do, too, is we knew we didn't want to do Hollywood Studios in the afternoon because we wanted to be there first thing in the morning to be able to get our fast passes
for Toy Story
Midway Mania.
And Star Wars.
And Star Tours. And
that sounds busy.
But those were the we had strategy behind which parks we did which day.
Sure, sure.
But we were able to. We were pretty impressed that we squeezed in three parks in 2 days and made it to Magic Kingdom twice. And I don't think we wore out Mom and Grandma and Grandpa too much.
Yeah, too much.
Okay, so if we could kind of put a summary of the Disney World part of your trip. I'm going to go ahead and ask each of you what your two favorite things about the Disney World part of your trip were. So, Keaton, what were your two favorite things?
Probably Star Tours, because the first time we went, I was the rebel spy.
Okay.
So it was pretty cool. And then also, probably just the hotel, because it's just so cool.
All right. And McKenna, how about you? What were your two favorite things?
Well, my favorite thing was Magic Kingdom. Well, one of them. Well, because Magic Kingdom is my favorite park because of the new Fantasyland, and Little Mermaid's my favorite movie. So I was really excited to do the Little Mermaid ride, and that was just really cool. And then I guess the second thing is I'm going to have to agree with Keaton and say Art of Animation. It was really cool.
Can't have heard that you were in Little Mermaid rooms at Art of Animation.
It was a dream. Dream come true.
My two favorites were the beginning and the end. First 2 hours we had in the Magic Kingdom where there were no lines, even though it was early, we had the park really from 7 to 9 almost all to ourselves and being able to cram in so much stuff, especially in Tomorrowland, and then ending it with the whole family there with the grandparents seeing the electric light parade and then everything that went on over the castle. That to me is always my favorite moment. And then having the whole family there, we had been and done it as the four of us, but to have the grandparents to be there and be part of it with the kids and see all their sheer joy and excitement.
It was a lot more fun. It was a completely different thing, but it was still cool. Like, I mean, we took them on rides like that they've never even been on before, and they were like, wow, that was amazing. I'm like, we told you. We tried to say this is going to be amazing, but you didn't believe us. So.
All right. Well, let's see how you continued to convince them that you knew all along. Next thing you did was to head down to Port Canaveral. So tell me, Jay, let's do nuts and bolts a little bit here. Practically, how'd you get yourselves, six of you, from Art of Animation down to the cruise? Did you take the Disney transfers? Or?
No, we used the car service.
Okay.
And which was really easy and really not that much difference in price for the six of us to go. It was basically a big, like a Ford Expedition. Picked us up, was able to fit all of our luggage, and we had packed a lot because we were going to be between a 7-day cruise and 2 days in the park, a 9-day trip. We had a lot of suitcases, and it was great, but being able to go door-to-door, basically, from the front door of Art of Animation directly to the Port Canaveral, right to the Disney terminal, was really easy. And the other cool thing was, is our driver's name was Wally, and he had a Wally stuffed animal.
So he had Wally toys all over the front of his car. It was awesome. Yeah.
So it really, even though it wasn't technically Disney transportation, I mean,
it felt like it a little.
We got a little bit of Disney transportation with that.
Absolutely. But door-to-door made it really easy, and especially traveling with the grandparents, it was just, you know, it was as easy as doing the Magic Express from going to the airport.
Okay. Okay. And so you got to Port Canaveral. About what time did you get to the port?
We got there probably right around noon.
Okay.
We were able to pretty quickly get onto the boat, the lines. It's like everything else Disney does. The thing that we were blown away by was that we had been used to Princess, and I've been on other cruise lines too, but everything that Disney does well in the parks about lines and crowd control, they've transferred that over to what they do on the cruises. So it was
totally. Like, I think the longest line that we were in was like 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, it wasn't like a terrible, it wasn't like a 2-hour wait or like
the longest line we were on was going to the aqueduct.
Yeah, right. So when you were getting on, you do your check-in. Did you go ahead and pre-check the kids for the kids clubs? Get their wristbands?
We did not do that. We did not pre-check the kids. Actually, the kids weren't sure whether they were going to do the kids' clubs, and so they wanted to get on and check it out when they got on there. So we just did the basic check-in, checked us into our two different rooms, and then we were really able to board. It was, you know, but it works like any other cruise ship where you drop your bags off at the porter out front, and then the bags just magically end up in your room when you get on the boat.
Okay, so you got on at noon. Had you already eaten? Did you go and find lunch on the ship? What did you do when you first got on?
We went to a restaurant called Enchanted Garden. Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. They had it basically. That's where they funneled you to, was the Enchanted Garden.
Well, they're like, if you haven't had lunch, they're like, we were like, where the heck can we go for lunch? And they're like, oh, if you go right upstairs, there's Enchanted Garden. We said, okay, and we walked in. It was so much fun.
Yeah, and they had a regular buffet, but they also, the kids looked at the buffet, didn't love what they had on the buffet, and I think you ordered chicken fingers or mac and cheese.
And they pulled out a kids menu for us.
Like right away from there, whereas a lot of the other times we've been on boats, they don't have that kind of stuff set up until the actual meal times, like starting with that dinner. And the service was great from that beginning.
Okay, so it's a nice start, welcoming, getting you on board. I assume you're able to get into your rooms, what, around 3:30 or so, or?
We were actually able to get into our rooms right away.
Great.
Our stuff didn't come until later in the afternoon.
Okay.
That didn't come until like 3 or...
Yeah, probably later. 3 or 4.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, it was not a big deal at all. We took maps and we went totally exploring around the ship and looked at every corner, checked out the kids' areas.
Which was awesome.
Okay, so Keaton, tell me about your reaction to the tour of the kids' clubs.
I think that it's just, like, it's really cool because there's, like, so many areas.
What club are you in?
Like, oh, I was in the Oceaneer Lab.
Okay. And so what kinds of things did the lab have that were interesting to you?
Well, they had this thing where, I forget what it's called, but it was where, like, you could, like, drive a boat. You could drive any type of boat. You could even drive, like, the Fantasy or the Dream.
Okay.
So it was really cool that you could, like, go forward and back and steer.
It was like the full experience that you were actually driving a boat.
Cool.
And the magic floor, I think, was the other
yeah.
one.
Yeah, it was called the Magic Play Floor Lab.
Yep.
It was just, it just seemed magic. because there were these, so many activities on the Magic Play Floor that they used.
Right.
So it was just really fun.
And that's the floor that, depending on where you step, like the floor itself changes as you step, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And McKenna, in addition to checking out the Oceaneers Lab for Keaton, you know, McKenna, you're a little older, so you also had access to the older kids club lounge, the Edge.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Edge.
Edge was really fun. There's like, everywhere you look, there's something fun. Like, you look one area, there's a computer in the next, and you look, turn around, and there's girls making friendship bracelets, and then there's people playing on Xbox, and then there's people playing Wii, and then there's people playing, like, board games. So, there's really, like, non-stop fun at Edge. Like, there's, everyone's so nice, the counselors are really nice. I think I made a friend in, like, the first, like, 10 minutes I was there. So, I mean, everyone was just really friendly and nice, and so I really loved Edge. It was one of the coolest, probably, experiences that I've had with other kids my age.
Okay. And you guys have been on cruises before with your parents, right?
Yes.
So compare your experience with the kids' clubs on the Fantasy with other kids' activity things on other cruises.
Well, we've only been on one other cruise line, which was Princess. I was on Holland America when I was, like, 6 months old, but that
okay.
doesn't really count.
That's okay. You were too young for the kids' clubs.
Too young
so.
For the kids' clubs. And we were a little nervous about doing kids' clubs, so, like, we didn't go a lot, but I did when I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old on Princess, and it was still, like, cool, but I just love Disney, so I always think Disney's better. Just because Disney's Disney.
I totally agree. Best ever.
Yeah, the other ones, they're nice. The kids are well watched after, but it's more, it's really good babysitting is what it is
yeah.
On the Princess boats that we've been on. And this was, like, the best summer camp you could ever imagine with all the different technology they had there, but also
like
for Keaton's age, they had nonstop. There were characters coming in all the time to the kids' club. Goofy came in and did some sort of...
Yeah, there was like a detective. They were doing like something detective where you were looking for... I think it's different every time. I'm not sure because I only did it once. But yeah, Goofy came in for like 5 minutes and he was hilarious. He was Goofy.
And the other thing that they had too was like McKenna's club, because... They talk about the line for the aqueduct. They had one night where they had the aqueduct totally just reserved for the Edge kids.
Oh, nice.
And they had it all to themselves.
And literally, we only had to wait for each other, so it wasn't like other people. It was awesome. It was totally cool. I loved it.
I think the only argument we had with the kids at all the whole trip was pulling Keaton out of the Oceaneers lab at like 11 or 11:30 at night, when it was finally time to go to bed.
Or for dinner. He didn't want to leave it either.
Right, like right after the meal, right after dessert, like literally right after I finished my dessert. Hey, can I go over to the ocean you love now?
And he did, and he loved it that much, even with everything else amazing going on the boat. They went to it as much as they could.
Yeah, literally.
That's where I spent probably like 3/4 of my time on the ship.
So let's talk, again, turn ourselves back to the adult experience a little bit. The kids have checked out the kids' club. You go in and you got, you know, into your rooms, you got your bags. So what is your in-laws' reaction now to the rooms on the Disney cruise ship as compared to their experience on the other ships?
The rooms were as good as the Princess rooms. I mean, it was very comparable with the separate bath and shower is a very nice feature that the Princess didn't have on the boats we've been on, or Royal Caribbean, or some of the other boats that we've been on, that it was a nice layout. but it was really comfortable. I'll tell you, overall, the in-laws were blown away that the service was better than other boats they'd been on, and the food, actually, was a lot better than...
I think all of us were surprised by food.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk food a little bit. You know, on the 7-night cruise, you really get the full experience. Because when you do the Disney Dream cruises, you know, it's a 3-night or a 3-night or 4-night. So you really kind of almost get rushed through that dining rotation. You know, Disney rotates you through the dining rooms, so you get a chance to try them all. So you had Animator's Palette, you had Royal Court, you had Enchanted Garden. And then you have the special nights. You had Pirate Night, and you have, I don't know, did you do any of the, either Remy or Palo?
No, we did not do either one of the specialty restaurants.
Okay. So 7 nights, 3 restaurants, 1 specialty night. What was maybe, well, let's talk about each of the restaurants, give them each their due. So which was your first dining rotation?
We were in Royal Court, first night, and... Dad, do you want to talk about that?
Well, just tell me a little bit. What was your favorite thing? We don't need to know exactly what you ordered and everything, but what was your favorite thing about Royal Court, maybe?
Royal Court, it had, I mean, I'm a big Disney Princess fan just because I loved the Disney Princesses. They're all awesome. And it kind of just felt like you were in, like, the Belle's Castle or something, or Ariel's Castle. Like, there was, like, mosaics everywhere of all the Disney Princesses and the Princes. And it just kind of felt like you were in a castle and you were getting treated to a royal dinner, and I really liked that a lot. Yeah.
So, Keaton, your favorite thing was, yeah?
No, but my favorite thing was probably just, like, McKenna. Like, it was really fancy. It was almost like you were having dinner at a real royal castle.
But they had also consistent children's menus throughout, so the children could order off the adult menu if they wanted.
Yeah.
But Keaton got a cheeseburger every single meal, but loved that he got a cheeseburger every single meal.
Yeah.
And your waiter goes with you throughout all the different, as you go to the 3 different dining rooms. So
the last night that we were having dinner, he said, what do you want? And I said, a cheeseburger. And he said, shocker.
After knowing him for 7 days,
he finally realized that I was going to have a cheeseburger. So, yeah.
Okay, and Jay, what was your favorite thing about Royal Court?
It's a nice dining room. Royal Court and Enchanted Garden, I thought, were nice dining rooms to be in, but compared to Animator's Palette... I mean, that's really where it's spectacular. The other ones are nice dining rooms. The food is good. The food is consistent, consistently really good.
Right.
But they're nice dining rooms.
And Animator's Palette is where you feel like you're on a Disney cruise.
Okay, that's true. We'll skip ahead and talk about Animator's Palette because. You know, Animator's Palette on all the Disney ships is about more than just dinner. It's really dinner, and the show is built into the dinner experience. And I think that, in my experience, that the show that is part of Animator's Palette on the Disney Fantasy is really the pinnacle of turning dinner into a show. So, Jay, why don't you describe how you know, the process for the Disney Fantasy, you know...
Well, there's two shows. Because you have 2 different nights in the Disney fan on the Animator's Palette. The first night we were there, it's basically if you've been to one of the parks and been to Turtle Talk with Crush, the whole dining room turns into Turtle Talk with Crush. All the animation and all the screens around feels like you're underwater.
And like all the lights. They turn into like a bluish, so it really feels like you're underwater talking with Crush.
And Crush goes around and talks to all the different tables.
You like swim from like table to table.
And it's not like all at once, it's like in the section. Like he'll go to one screen and we'll be sitting right here, and then like 5-10 minutes later he'll go to this screen and then he'll go to that, the one behind you. It's really cool. And then also, like, Mr. Ray comes by with Nemo, and Marlin and Dory come by. So it's like all the characters are eating dinner with you, and it's awesome.
Not just Turtle. So not just turtle talk. It's a fishy talk. Stingray talk.
It really is amazing. And so that already sets your expectations pretty high. And then we had heard about the Make Your Own Animation and Animator's Palette for the second night.
Yeah.
And the kids really did not want to tell the grandparents about it and wanted them to be surprised.
It was really hard. So just let you all know, if you're trying to do it for your grandparents, it is hard.
Because she looked at all these videos.
Right.
So that kind of spoiled the surprise for her.
But we were really excited. So basically, they give you a placemat, like any children's menu, and give you directions on how to draw a character. And with your...
And, like, blue lines, and, like, it has a head and hands. And you basically draw inside the blue lines, and then you have, like, and you send, like, a signature. And then the waiters take all your placemats and
they magically
give it to, I don't know who, but people that turn it into animation. And then in a couple minutes after that happens, Mickey comes on almost every screen and says, we're almost ready for the big show. And then it shows, like, a bunch of pictures from all these Disney movies of food. Of people eating food. Because, hey, let me talk.
Okay. And then your drawings come to life. Magic. And it's truly, they are animated. They are not just...
Yes.
They're basically your stick figures and things that you've drawn, but they dance across the screen multiple times around the entire...
I think mine was ice skating, if I'm correct. Like, it was...
Mine, all the joints, or, like, the hands, the head, and the feet were Mickey Mouse heads.
It's something that... There are some times where we've been to Disney things where you look at it and say, I have never seen anything like that before. And that was the experience.
That was one of those moments.
But that's when you said, I have never seen anything like this before.
Okay, so talk to me about some of the food items from the various restaurants you were at. Anything stand out among the three restaurants?
There were different desserts every night. I had a different dessert every night.
I had the same.
Amazing. So that was cool. Sorry, I had to point that out.
Yeah. My favorite is Beef Wellington.
Okay.
And they had Beef Wellington, but they have all the usual really nice. They have, you know, there's a steak option every night. There's a fish option every night. It was consistently good. I don't remember having anything that we didn't like.
Okay. Let's talk just a little bit, touch on Pirate Night, because it's a sort of a unique experience. So tell us a little bit about maybe just some of the highlights for you of Pirate Night. Pirate Night, the whole ship, sort of starting in the late afternoon, becomes a pirate adventure. So... Keaton, what was your favorite part of the Pirate Night activities?
Probably what they talk about the most. The fireworks at sea, which is the coolest thing ever.
And where did you go to watch the fireworks?
Actually, if you go on, like, I forget which deck it was, but it was, like, a certain deck, you can get a really good view of, there's, like, a little show before that.
Right.
Like all the pirates, and it has, like, Jack Sparrow, or a person, Jack Sparrow, and it has, like, a bunch of pirates, and it's just really cool because you get a perfect view of the show down there the show up there.
We were on the deck just above the pool, so we could look down and see the show, but... We could also, and our waiter had told us which side of the boat to stand on to best see the fireworks. You can see it from anywhere,
right?
But our waiter had given us kind of that inside information, and so we had a couple of us go and lock down some spots for the family right on one of the railings, and so it was a perfect spot for everyone to come up and see the fireworks.
And one good tip: if it's a windy night, no matter what the waiter says. If it's a windy night, you want to make sure that you're not on the side of the boat closest to the fireworks on the windy night, because the smoke blows back.
It was a windy night when we were there,
but if it's blowing away, you're okay.
Yeah,
it's blowing towards the ship, not so much.
It was it was not a problem for us. We got lucky.
we didn't wear hats.
No. All right, so McKenna, what was your favorite thing about Pirate Night?
I really liked everything. Like, everyone got bandanas, like, in their room. Like, your cleaning person, like, they got, put bandanas on your bed, like, the night before. And so that was just really cool and just fun. And everyone, they went all out. Like, kids were playing, like, pirate games on the deck. They turned into the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, which is, like, a makeup-type place for little girls and guys. I think. I'm not sure. And they turn it into a pirate thing. So guys can be pirates. And girls can still be princesses, but they can also be pirates. So, I mean, everything was just all out. The show, they were, like, people coming down from the smokestacks. Like, Jack Sparrow was flying down. So it was really cool. And everyone just was having the most fun time. And you can see it on everyone's faces from young to old.
I was blown away by how many full families got totally dressed up in pirate outfits.
People, like, brought it, like, on the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Or they bought it, like, right. On the ship. Like, it was crazy.
That was great. But also, after they do a show and they did the fireworks and a full pirate party, they have, like, a midnight buffet with turkey legs, as far as the eye can see. And that sense of just holding onto a turkey leg, kind of like Renaissance Festival and other types of things. But it's awesome.
Marshmallows and fondue.
Right. It was a full-on
strawberries and fondue. Marshmallows and fondue. Fondue and fondue.
It was lots of chocolate fondue, huh?
Yeah, it was delicious.
It's just a huge, fun party.
Okay. Well, it does sound great. Sounds like you guys had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the shows on board. Let's talk about the other entertainment. I know that, you know, 7 nights, there's a lot of things going on. There's a different show happening every night. So why don't we just kind of try and hit the highlights, talk about the things you maybe liked the best. Maybe if there's one you didn't like as much, you know, give people a heads up. This might be one they could give a pass on. But you guys, if I remember right, you were first seating for dinner, right? Or second? First seating? Okay, so first seating for dinner. So you did dinner and then shows. Mm-hmm. How'd that work out for you?
It was good. I mean, like, literally, I would go to the kids' club after dinner. So I would have dinner, go to the kids' club, and then meet them down at the theater, because I'm a big theater geek. So I went every night to see the show. And the entertainment, I'm just going to say, it was amazing. Like, there was jugglers, magicians, there was, like, a ventriloquist. So just kudos to that, because that was awesome.
And I am not as much of a theater geek, so I only went to the first show, which was the Welcome Aboard show, and the last one, which was, like, the goodbye show. But,
But there were plenty of things for you to do at the kids' club, you know, to entertain you while you weren't at the show.
He would have come to the shows if he didn't want to be in the kids' club so badly.
Right.
Yes.
But the theater was packed, and we enjoyed all of the Broadway-style shows. We thought they got progressively, I want to say worse, but not as good. The ones at the front end of the week, we just thought were better quality, less cheesy, I think, in some ways.
I think I think it was called Wishes. Wishes was our least favorite. We just thought it was a little cheesy.
Is that the show? That's the graduation show?
Yes. That's the graduation show. But the opening show, and then was it Aladdin?
Aladdin was our favorite, too. We loved Aladdin.
I mean, it's really Broadway caliber talent and sets, but they really make so many scenes from different movies come to life. And especially, I think, for younger kids who are so into characters, that the stage is basically filled with character after character after character after character, that was a favorite for a lot of little kids, too, especially. We also really liked, we didn't go to a show, but the magician that was part, because he was in one of the, kind of, he did a preview for like 10 minutes during one of the big shows. And
I think it was the Goodbye?
No, it wasn't the Goodbye Show.
Whatever.
Anyway,
it was the Welcome Aboard.
It was, I mean, the kids were dying laughing, and he was really entertaining, and so, which, you know, on some other cruises, the other entertainment is more up and down,
right.
And the ventriloquist was really funny in the parts we saw of him, and so it was pretty consistent, the fact that there was something every single night to go to in the theater. We really enjoyed that as a family, except for Keaton, who went to the kids' club every
And what was a little, which I thought was pretty amazing, they have one cast for every single show. So it didn't change cast. It's not like one cast for Aladdin, one cast for Wishes. It was all the same cast. And that I thought was pretty amazing. And they, I mean, one night someone was a genie, and I bet the next night they were Mickey Mouse or something. Like, you know, like, it was just really cool how one cast can bring so many different characters and so many different shows to life and on the stage.
And so those are the big evening shows. Did you get a chance to check out the movie theaters? What was playing on board?
Our grandma, she hadn't seen Wreck-It Ralph yet. So she went to the, I think it was called the Buena Vista Theater, because Wreck-It Ralph was playing.
Yeah.
And so me, Dad, and I, we were walking by, and so we just stopped by and watched, like, the last 20 minutes of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, that was really fun. But the other neat thing about it is they have, on all the TVs in your stateroom, video on demand with just about every Disney movie you can imagine. So also, that was another thing that Grandma did, was got caught up on a lot of the Disney movies she hadn't seen and could just scroll through. And we had actually, as a family, never seen Lilo and Stitch. And so we were talking about it, and we said, oh, we should go back to the room and see if it's there. And the fact that you have every Disney movie at your fingertips on demand.
Almost every movie.
Almost every movie, but...
like 99% of... Yeah, so...
Also, what was really cool that Disney Cruise Line does, that I don't think really any other cruise line does, at least in my knowledge, they play Disney movies that are in theaters... there, because at the time, Oz the Great and Powerful was playing in theaters, and they played it on the boat, and people went crazy for it. They loved it. So, I mean, I wasn't really interested in the movie, but I just thought that was just really cool that they can even do that. Like, Wreck-It Ralph was on there when, you know, it was in theaters, and I bet every movie you can imagine was.
But we were there the week of the Oz premiere, basically,
right.
When it was coming out in theaters, and so it was, like, one of the big, like, a Thursday evening entertainment was, and they scheduled shows around, so you can go see Oz the Great and Powerful.
Okay. Yeah.
And plan the schedule around that. And so that, so you didn't feel like you were missing out on something, but you felt like you were there as part of a Disney event.
Right. You were part of the premiere.
Yes.
It was very cool.
Excellent. All right. So we've covered, you know, most of the kind of broad entertainment stuff, the main dining stuff. You were on a boat. It was taking you places. Tell me about Ports of Call. What stood out in your mind? What ports were especially fun? You know, were there ones where you were just as happy hanging out on board instead?
We started in Grand Cayman. Was that where we started?
Yes.
And we went on a beach. It was a really fun beach. I mean, there is jet skiing, which I don't think that this was allowed, but Dad let me drive the jet ski.
We have been to Grand Cayman before.
Right.
And so...
most of these...
I only went once before that.
Mostly we have been to before, except for like one or two, which was cool, but...
We knew that we didn't have to go on an excursion. We knew there were great beaches, and so when we got off the boat, we... took a cab to 7 Mile Beach and knew there would be a lot of fun. And we just basically spent the day hanging out at the beach.
Okay.
It was a great beach. My highlight of that beach was driving a jet ski.
Right.
I'm going to go to the second to last day of the cruise, which is Castaway Cay.
Wait. Let's wait to talk about Castaway Cay, because I want to talk about that in a little more detail than we do.
We'll talk a lot about Castaway Cay. So that
is the most important part.
I couldn't remember.
That's the most important
part.
Did it?
We went to in Cozumel. That was another place where we had been before, and we did our research on. There are these like basically private beach clubs that you can go to, and then basically buy a day pass. And we found one that we went on.
We looked at like three different.
We went on Cruise Critic and Disney Sites, and just found, and there were a few. And I forget the name offhand, but it's really easy. Playa Mia, I think, was it?
Mm-hmm.
But you for one price for the day. There, you can have boats and inflatables, lunches included.
Jet ski.
Well, the jet ski you had to pay extra for that.
Yeah.
But
it was still really fun.
But
I had to drive a jet ski again.
But that was another place where we took a cab
right there
and was very easy. Disney had a lot of excursions you could take, but that was another one where we kind of did that on our own. The only excursion that we bought through Disney was in Costa Maya.
Oh, yeah.
McKenna, you want to talk about what we did in Costa Maya?
We swam with dolphins, and it was, I think, my dream since I was, like, 5 years old to swim with a dolphin because they were, like, my favorite animal, and they still are, like, my favorite, like, sea animal. Anyway, so we swam with dolphins, and it was really cool, and then they got, like, a bunch of pictures, like, professional, like, photographers there taking pictures of you, and then you could buy them, but, like, you got to, like, pet them, you got to hug them, you got to swim with them. You got to kiss them.
I did.
It was very cool, and it was very interesting. I mean, it was a really cool experience, and I was scared to death. But I am so happy that I did it now. They're, like, they were all like, excuse me, you're going to be thankful that you did this. And I am so happy that I did, because it was the experience of a lifetime.
She was very scared to swim with dolphins. But she did it, and now she has no regrets. And I do not.
Costa Maya is the one port that we went to where there wasn't much else to do. It's really a cruise port that is just for cruises.
Right.
And so that's a place that I would totally recommend doing an excursion of some type. The dolphin swim was great because it literally was at the end of the dock. Like, you just walk down there, I don't know, a couple hundred yards, and you're literally right there. Easy walk. It was fun. It's not cheap, because the other part that's not cheap about it is so Grandma did not participate. Grandpa did, but Grandma didn't, so it was
right.
just five of us. And she figured, oh, I can just stand on the side and take pictures, but they were all from the back side, basically.
Right.
They have a professional photographer taking it, and to buy the whole package of pictures, it's like $120.
Wow.
But after you spent the whole day with the dolphins and these amazing pictures, and we have some really incredible pictures of us swimming with the dolphins, it was worth it. It's just one of those things when you go in knowing...
It's the photo hostage situation.
Exactly. You really just... And you have to do it. It's not like one of those things where should we, shouldn't we... if you want to capture anything on film from it, and some of the pictures are just priceless, so...
Also, what is cool about the dolphin excursion, if you want, like we said, our grandma didn't want to go, so she just took pictures, you don't have to pay for them to just sit by the side and watch. You only have to pay for people that are actually getting in the water and swimming, so that saved us a little bit of money, which was very nice.
Well, and that also means, for example, that if you had, you know, a situation where maybe just the kids were going to do it, right. You could all four, you know, family four, family five, whatever, could all go. The kids could swim with the dolphins. Parents can be there by the side, and you only pay for the kids who are doing the swim.
Yes.
Which was really cool.
Can I talk about it now?
Sure. What did you like best about swimming with the dolphins, Keaton?
It was just cool because the best part was, I think, they wouldn't make you do anything. You didn't have to do anything if you didn't want to do it.
Yeah, but you wanted to do everything.
Yeah, I wanted to do everything. Not so much of me.
But that's a good point, that there's no pressure to do it. So, you know, if somebody's a little bit nervous about it, like McKenna was initially, you know, they're not going to push you to do it. They're going to let you see how the experience goes and make your own decisions.
And the trainers were really nice and really helpful and made it feel very comfortable for
anybody. And the life vest was very comfy.
Okay. All right, so we've talked about Cayman, Costa Maya, any other ports that you wanted to make a point of talking about? Where you guys are, you know, veteran cruisers, so I assume mostly when you were hitting a port, you were looking for, you know, a nice beach to hang out at or something along those lines.
Yeah, because we really, you know, our kids aren't into going to museums or seeing the historical tour of Cozumel or seeing the Mayan ruins. For us, it was hanging out and playing on a beach and riding jet skis, and so that was
and swimming.
And the grandparents did not go with us to either one of the beaches. They more went shopping in the towns and just,
or stayed on the ship.
Yep.
And they were fine with that. That's what they wanted to do, and they were happy with it. So.
Right. All right, so let's talk just a little bit. You're talking about the grandparents. Did you and the grandparents get to spend some time in the adult areas of the ship?
Yeah, definitely. I know Grandpa got massages and really took advantage of the spa a lot. That's one of his favorite things to do. Grandma did that a little bit, too.
I think Grandma got her haircut, didn't she?
Well, that's right. She got her haircut on the boat. And
that's really cool.
The spa is really, I mean, it's as good as, you know, Carnival, Princess, Royal Caribbean, any other ones that we've been on. It's a high-quality spa. They have adults-only pool areas that, that, you know, my wife and I, one afternoon when the kids were in the kids' club, just went and, you know, read books. And it was really... legitimately nice and quiet. My favorite part of the adults-only part was at night they have a bar section that's a Europa section that is designed to be like different kinds of bars throughout Europe. And there's one, I believe it's called Skyline. Or
Skyline sounds right.
So it's a bar where it's all LCD screens all around you. And you're sitting there, and it's moving action, and it looks very lifelike, but you're sitting and looking out at London, like you're on a rooftop bar in London, and you're sitting and having drinks, and there's British music playing, and every 15 minutes, it's like Tinkerbell fairy dust comes over the LCD screens, and it switches to another European capital, and all of a sudden, you're in Athens, with Greek music playing in the background, like you're in a rooftop bar in Athens. And I probably could have spent all night there, just every 15 minutes, feeling like you're moving from club to club.
But you couldn't have, because you were spending time with us.
See, that's great, because, you know, I got to spend a little bit of time in the adult areas when I was on the Fantasy, but I was on the Fantasy during the NCAA tournament, if you'll recall. And so when I was in that area, it was because I was at the sports bar next on the, I guess it's the next one over from Skyline, so that I could watch the basketball games.
And we were there during, I believe it was the Big 12 tournament, and we found a group of Kansas people because we were looking for the Kansas score, and they were watching the Kansas game, and so we had a similar experience as well. It's nice that the adults have that opportunity. That was another thing that the grandparents really liked, too, that if they wanted to get away from families and kids and everything, that they have that, but we used it a bit, not
right.
Once.
Okay.
We did a lot of stuff on the boat that we could do together.
Sure.
One of the favorite things we did was each day they did a different animators class where you learned how to draw the different
characters. Every day, but a lot of the days. And so, like, we drew, like, Pluto and Tigger and Mickey and Donald and
Pooh.
I can't even remember all of them. It was so many characters.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
But that's something that Disney does, I think, better than anybody else. When I've been on other boats, it's either kids' activities or adult activities and things like that where the grandparents, the parents, and the kids could all learn to draw together. It was really designed for families to do it together.
And I think the best part is, if you want to, you can show it to everyone in the D-Line.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool, and they could put it on, like, the screen. What?
Yeah. Well, and the D-Lounge is a great thing to talk about, because that is the family lounge mm-hmm. there. And I think that's one of the unique things about the Disney ships is that D-Lounge area that is really a welcoming lounge area for families that has these kinds of activities, you know, on a regular basis. There's the animation class. There are family, you know, game show-type things. There's all kinds of activities. Did you do any of the other activities down there in D-Lounge?
We did a game. It was like a game show called Mirror Mirror,
and it's inspired by the new like movie, I guess.
Snow White.
The Snow White movie called Mirror Mirror. And
okay.
It was like games kind of based off of that movie. Like Magic Mirror was there. You had to dress up like dwarves. There was apples involved. So
yeah. I think really funny part was at the very beginning they would choose a person of the audience to be Dopey. Was it Dopey? Mm-hmm. And he would just hold a bag of apples. What? He would just hold a bag of apples, and whenever a team or two teams or a bunch of teams got a point or two or three, he would just walk around and give him a couple of apples. And whoever had the most apples at the end of each, at the end of all the rounds, total wins.
Families really let their inhibitions down, and just and to see parents playing with kids, that's what the stuff in the D-Lounge really brought out for everybody.
Okay. All right, well, so I've been trying to direct you to talk about various things. I'm sure there are things that I'm not thinking of. So what have I not asked you about that you've been dying to tell me about?
There's this detective thing.
Oh, Midship Detective Agency.
Yeah.
Tell me about your experience with Midship Detective Agency.
Well, I did the Muppet. There are two, like, versions, really. One about stolen paintings, and one about stolen props. The stolen props one is Muppet. It's, like, Muppet-themed. And that's what Dad, my grandpa, and I did.
Don't tell me what it felt like. Tell me what you did. Physically, what did you do with it?
Well, there were, like, these puzzles. So, like, they gave you, like, this sort of, like, thing.
A card.
Yeah, it was, like, a card. And you would stand on a special area. And there were, like, paintings everywhere. So, and, like, the ones with, like, golden things near them were the ones that were, like, digital screens. And they would, like, move. And they would, like, and it would, like, really, like, know where your card was. So
the painting would react to the card, and it'd be a magic painting, and it would give you, what, some kind of a clue?
It would give you, like, where, like, Gonzo would say, hey, I'm missing a stick of dynamite. That's not what he said, but.
Okay,
would,
but
like,
it could
say,
be.
Like, I need a stick of dynamite for my stunt act, and so you would like, move things around with your spike, with your like card that they gave you, and it was really cool because they gave you like a map of all the paintings that you can go to, that gives you hints, and it says which deck they're on. And if they're on the front of the ship, the middle of the ship, or the back of the ship?
So basically, so many of the paintings on the ship and the artwork would come to life that the kid would stand in front of it, holding up the card. It comes to life. You would do an activity with it, and then it would give you a clue and tell you where to go next until you went through all the different stages and solved the mystery.
And a really cool part is, no matter which painting you go to, it would track your progress just by which card you scan. So
right.
it can tell you progress. And then when you're done with the mission and you are almost done and there's like one painting you haven't gone to, it says go to this. It says like go to this place on deck here. And then you would go there and then it would really
Tell you the answer to the mystery.
Yeah, it was just so cool.
The other neat thing for people with younger kids, especially younger girls, because my kids aren't as much into the character meet and greets, but if your kids are into characters, I know if you go to parks, sometimes your whole day can be spent waiting in long lines for characters. There are character meet and greets all day long. Even, you know, we did one with Mickey that was at 10 in the morning, and we figured let's get there a little bit early. There was nobody in line even
it was
until...
It was probably like five kids just waiting, less than that.
I mean, by 10:05, we had done a great picture with Mickey, and we're done. But the neatest thing was in the atrium, they have the princess meet and greet.
Oh, yeah.
Where they have...
They have five different princesses, and you just stand in a line, and you go from each one of them one at a time. So you talk to them for a little bit, take a picture, wait in like a 3-minute line, go to the next one. It was really cool.
For the 4- and 5-year-old girls, and even the 6- and 7-year-old girls, it looked like it was the absolute best experience of their entire life to have one princess after the next standing right there. And so that was a neat thing. I'll tell you, the only negative I think we had about the pools are not nearly big enough for the number of people that want to be in there.
It's
just shoulder-to-shoulder kids. So you can get in there and cool off if you're the kids, but there's no place really to swim during prime swimming hours when it's warm in the afternoon, which is fine. I mean, I think there's plenty of other stuff to do.
Yeah.
But they could use more pool space if you want to really be able to swim in the pools.
Yeah, the only time like we really went in pools swam at all was at a beach or aqueduct or something like that.
So let's talk about those last couple of things that I think we haven't covered, and that is first of all Castaway Key, which is one of your last ports. And you spend a full day at Castaway Key, Disney, you know, it's their signature location, you know, their private island. So why don't we go through, did you have special plans for Castaway Key, or?
We were just kind of going to hang out on the beach.
And they had, it's really almost like a island. It's really like the cruise ship was transferred. Like, they moved, like, almost, all of the, everything from the cruise ship to the island.
Right, because you've got the kids' club is there, you've got the restaurants are there, you have lunch while you're on the island.
Yeah. They have water slides, too. And they have soft serve ice cream.
Well, and that's the other thing. On the ship, they have soft serve ice cream 24/7 that the kids loved every
time
you walk by. It's
free, and it's free.
Getting soft serve ice cream. But the fact that they have that on Castaway Key as well it's one of those nice extra little surprises that...
And also, what's cool that Disney did, and I guess that's just what Disney does because they're amazing, they're like, don't worry about bringing lunch or buying it somewhere. We have a barbecue that's going to get set up for you.
Right.
That was cool. So we literally grabbed lunch and just ate right on the beach, which was awesome.
Yeah, it's really easy. The only thing we got was we rented rafts for the afternoon.
And you can rent rafts and air tubes, like, for the ocean, which is really cool.
But they have character meet and greets throughout the island, and it was really... it's the best private island we've ever been to by far of all the different cruise lines we've been on, too.
Totally. Yeah.
Awesome.
What anything in particular that you did that was, you know, stood out on Castaway Key?
I think the one thing that really stood out, it was called, like, Pelican's Plunge or something.
Okay.
It was, there's two water slides, a really dark one, which is, they're basically the same, except one of them's enclosed and one of them's open. I honestly went on the one that's open
Closed slides can be a little creepy.
Yeah.
But I gotcha.
But to have slides that drop you into the ocean was a really neat experience. And it's a lot of stuff like a water park, but built right there on the ocean.
Right, right. And tell me, you know... We did this in early March, and so it was pretty cold in that water. How was the water for you guys?
It was freezing.
same as you, freezing cold, but not a big deal. Honestly, our neighborhood pool is cold all the time, so we're kind of used to it.
Okay, so it was cold but worth it.
Yeah.
And so you did it anyway.
Totally worth it.
All right.
Totally worth looking.
And then the last thing I know that we haven't talked about, and we probably don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but the last thing is the aqueduct.
Yes!
Which you have to mention because it's unique to the Disney ships. Tell us about your aqueduct experience. Keaton, who's coming out of his clothes here, trying to raise his hand high enough to say he wants to talk. Go ahead.
It was just amazing. Even though sometimes it gets pretty long, it moves at a good pace. It doesn't move like so slow. It moves like pretty fast. So even though sometimes it may be really long, I think it moves pretty quickly. So
I think the longest one we waited was maybe 10 or 15 minutes on the aqueduct. And that was something people had told us ahead of time, kind of we were nervous about. But we also found, the kids found, that there were times that if you got there first thing when it opened in the morning.
Because it doesn't close till like 10 or 11 at night. So if you go in the morning or at night, there's no one there. And that's the perfect time to get off.
Me and my grandpa and I, it was really late at night, and so we decided there was no line, literally. Like, we just literally walked up there, went on the aqueduct, got a towel, just rubbed ourselves, went up again, and we did that seven times. And if the water starts out cold, if you go on it like seven times, you get used to it. But then everything else is really cold.
Yeah.
The other thing the kids love too is it's lit up really neat at night.
Yeah.
So going on it during the day and going on at night was two totally different experiences for them.
Totally. And I mean, it was really cool because the minute you get on, you go straight over the side of the boat,
right.
And you look down, and there's. And it's ocean that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool. And just the coaster.
Okay, so we're getting close to wrapping up here. Anything important that I haven't asked you about?
Oh, the wave phones, which...
Oh, thank you. That's a good point. So you had... I'm glad you mentioned the wave phones. So these are a Disney ship feature that I think is really interesting. And I think it was helpful, particularly in a situation like yours, when you had two rooms and you had adult and kids on the ship together. So did you find the wave phones helpful? How did you use them?
Well, we rented two of them so every family member could have one.
Okay.
So when I was in the kids' club, I kept the wave phone just in case maybe I wanted to leave, but mom and dad weren't there, or maybe they wanted to say, hey, there's a spot. Hey, could you come back to the room? We want to talk about something, or, like, yeah, so I find them a great addition to the Disney movie book.
We've gotten so, you know, we're so used to in this day and age being able to text somebody right away when you need them and to say, oh, it's okay if we get separated, like if you're at the mall or somewhere, it's okay, I'll just text you and we'll find each other. When you don't have the wave phone, you're back on the, okay, we will meet you here at 9 o'clock and in the sea, and if we don't see you here, then at 9:30 we'll see you here. And it took that completely out of it, that it could be from the first thing in the morning of just, okay, call some of what good one, some of us get up, we'll just go out and start our day.
You can call us on the wave phone whenever you want.
It also made us as parents feel a lot more comfortable at the time they were 8 and 11. By about halfway through the trip, once we knew that they had the lay of the land, they knew how to get around the ship somewhat, that we were okay not having them in our sight at all times. And, you know, so like Keaton talked about wanting to go from the dining room to checking himself into the kids' club. We felt comfortable saying, okay, go up to the kids' club, because we knew if there was something that went wrong, he knew how to reach us because he had a wave phone with him.
Yeah, I knew the number of mom and dad's wave phone, and if not, McKenna's wave phone.
Like, when you're my age, really all you want to do is hang out with friends and stuff. I guess, like, you know, that's what teenagers and tweens want to do. So I was like, hey, I literally texted him, hey, can I hang out with my friends at the pool with my friend? And I'll get, and I'll try to get back to the room at this time so I can get ready for dinner. And they're like, sure. So, I mean, I felt a lot more comfortable. Like, when I was on Princess, like, I think I felt more worried because I'm like, what if I'm in the kids club and I have no idea where the heck my parents are? So, and I was like, always just wanted to stay, like, closer to them. And this one, I felt really a lot more comfortable because I'm like, oh, I have their number. They can just text me on my way phone. So that really just, I think it made everyone in our family a lot more comfortable with being separated.
There's okay. One more thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
The way that like they just check you in for the kids clubs.
Right.
Literally, when you first check in, they sign your name in. They give you a wristband. It's waterproof. So then you can wear it in the shower, and you never take it off until the last day. Once you get checked in, you never take it off until the last day.
Right,
so
and they use
then,
that.
And you just, and literally, they just scan your wristband or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, okay, you can go in.
But that way,
yeah, it's really that easy.
But they were able to track, so when we would come to pick him up at times, like, you know, there are two full rooms of the Oceaneers Lab or the Oceaneers Club. They could look on the computer screen and tell us where he was playing and what corner of it he was playing in. And so they
knew.
It's
not a GPS thing.
Absolutely. And so knew where he was at all times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice feature. And they also use that to double check when you come and pick up a kid. They use it to cross check and make sure that the right person is picking up the right kid.
Absolutely. And so, again, it was another thing that made us feel really safe and secure with the kids spending so much time in those kids' areas. They really, they were on top of it.
All right. So to wrap things up a little bit, I think what I'm going to do is just ask each of you to share one tip that you would give to somebody in your age category about taking a cruise on the Disney Fantasy. So, you know, Keaton, you were 8 when you were on the Fantasy.
Yeah.
So what one piece of advice would you give to another 8-year-old who was going to be taking a cruise on the Disney Fantasy?
Probably the moment you get your own wave phone, memorize the numbers of all the other wave phones around you just in case.
Excellent.
Because for the first, 3 days, I couldn't really go alone because I didn't memorize I didn't remember the other wave phone numbers.
Okay.
I knew it, I just couldn't memorize it. So, but then I memorized it. So,
okay.
That's a tip I would give.
And McKenna, what's your tip for tweens?
I was really nervous about getting embarrassed by my family, just because they're my family. So I just say, let yourself, go. I really wish that I did that on the cruise, and I'm really sad that I didn't, because I was just so embarrassed. I'm like, my friend's right across, and do they really want to see me with my family? But, just let yourself go. Just have, a fun time with your family, no matter how embarrassing they are. Just have fun, let yourself go, and it's Disney. What could go wrong? It's true.
Okay, and Jay, as the father and also organizer, convincing in-laws to come along, what piece of advice do you have to share?
With kids this age, I don't know why we did other cruise lines. Disney is so set up for families to do stuff together. And, it was a phenomenal experience for the grandparents, for the parents, for the kids. And so as much as we like going on Princess Cruises and Royal Caribbean, and I think when the kids get older, even though there were families with teenagers, we would consider going. And, even though there were couples who went without their kids that were on the Disney cruise, to go with the family, it is, it's phenomenal. It's really designed for multiple generations. And so even though you're paying a premium for it, and I've had a lot of my friends say, it's so much more expensive. It still feels like a value when you get what you pay for. And as much as we love going to the parks, I asked the kids, I said, if we were planning another vacation, would you rather go spend a week at Disney World or go on a Disney cruise again? And it was pretty unanimous that they'd want to go on a Disney cruise again. So it's a cool experience.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing your trip story with us.
You're welcome.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer.